The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
I don't know what made me think of this, but what's your go-to karaoke song?
My love, there's only you in my life.
104. It's a disturbing Monday.
Well, I blame you.
Chilini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. This is Adam and Matt Lear. This could be the most... I want you to think about this.
Did they do this morning?
They must have. Just think about this long and hard. I've been doing this 30-something years. So have you, Chris.
Yeah.
This could be the most disturbing thing I've ever heard.
Okay.
Just think long and hard about what I just said.
I want you to think about this. When I say I've got to get out of here, this is what I'm talking about. This business might not be for me anymore.
It's driven Domino into retirement. This was the final nail in Chris Domino's retirement coffin. Now, here we are, TPC Sugarloaf.
Can I pay a compliment of some sort?
I guess they did the whole song.
Yeah, I guess they did.
You're going to go all in. Go all in.
Don't give me, Matt Lear, do not bore me with details. I'm asking one simple question.
Let's hear it.
Did you guys have the track playing in the studio, and you had two separate mics in a studio to record this?
No, we did this in the same studio. We like to
do
things
like
that. That's
what I mean. It was coming over the speaker, the music, the karaoke version. Did you each have a microphone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And this was like a year ago.
They did the whole song.
Of course they did.
No, like I said, the first verse.
You should go all in. Do the whole song. I mean, if you're gonna do it right.
A lot of people are saying it's really good.
Well, that is your version of karaoke. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard. That was a cracked up version. If you notice cracked bricks, floor gaps, or bowed basement walls, the experts from AquaGuard can provide a free inspection. If you're ready to fix your sagging, bouncy floors, visit AquaGuard.net. Chuck and Chernoff going to be here at TPC Sugarloaf a little bit later on.
Can they hold on for a few minutes? We got a bunch of things. So we didn't even get to yet.
You want to go to like 3 o'clock?
No, I'm not three.
Is that what
three
you're telling
seems,
me?
We just got things. I got to talk about Scottie Scheffler at some point.
We left a lot of things on the cutting room floor, but the beauty is we have all week long to do it. Kirk Cousins came out last night throughout that ceremonial first pitch. Now, he didn't throw it off the mound, and initially I thought to myself,
boo!
And then I started to think about it, and as we all know, he's still recovering from the Achilles surgery, and why step on that mound and risk anything?
I get it 1,000%. My first thought was, oh, man, we signed the wrong guy. This guy doesn't have the stones to go up to the mound. He calls himself an athlete. And then the whole Achilles thing came up, and I was like, oh, yeah, 18 inches. That's not normal. He doesn't usually throw. What about that mound? Yeah, he doesn't do. Okay, go in front of the whole thing.
And,
by the way, he wasn't even on the dirt. He went right to the grass.
He was on
the grass. That's what he should have done.
He did the right thing. And then he sat in with Ravitch and David Cone and Eduardo Perez during the fifth inning, which was, I think, the quickest inning ever. I mean, that was like total. The top and the bottom of that frame went so fast that Kirk Cousins didn't get a lot of time. He was only supposed to be in there, I think, for the top of the fifth.
Okay.
But the top of the fifth went so fast that they held him over.
He's become Atlanta's guest now, too. He's everywhere. Him and his wife. His wife really likes social media. I guess they found a church, and they were looking at schools for the kids. And then he drove the spike at the United game, and then he did this. I think they might have been at a cherry blossom festival.
He said his father-in-law
was at Augusta.
Was there when Hank Aaron hit number 715 and went back for the anniversary. I mean, this guy is in touch with
Atlanta.
What
is happening around here? This is, again, it's too good to be
true.
Not
since the days of Marcus Mariota have we seen such a connection between a Falcons quarterback and the city.
What are the odds this guy quits? I don't think he's going to quit.
No.
So we got that going for us. But the Cousins family is everywhere. You know, it's sort of that family. They're kind of good looking. They got some money. And now they do nice things for people. It's a little bit annoying.
Right.
How about you go win me a football game or two?
That's enough. Go out there and start throwing touchdowns. Anyway, Bryce Elder, after the game last night, Darius Vines sent back down to AAA. Elder is called up. He is going to start the eighth starter in the first 21 games. That's what Bryce Elder is going to be. You got guys that are hurt. You got guys like Matt Olson, who's in a horrendous slump right now. Austin Riley as well. He had that bleeder through the infield there in the eighth inning. Hopefully that'll get him going. And yet this team is still in a pretty good spot when all was said and done.
What night was it? Was it Friday night? The top three guys were 0 for 12 when you won by 5 runs. Somebody pointed that out, and it's a really good point. 0 for 12, top three in your lineup, and you won the game by 5 runs. You won it walking away. So they're good enough to make up for it. Now, again, I don't want Matt Olson to drive himself crazy. I don't want Austin Riley to drive himself crazy. But there's got to be a moment where you go, okay, middle of the lineup bats, it's a little bit easier to win when those guys are going fairly well.
And now everybody is going to get an extra day off. Elder's coming up to start tonight. Lopez will start tomorrow. Freed on Wednesday. Then the series wraps up with the Marlins. You have an off day. The Guardians come in. Sale's going to start on Friday. Morton on Saturday. And Sunday's still up in the air. But this is the way they're going to have to try to piecemeal things for the time being. You want to give these guys in Lopez and Sale and Morton, these veteran guys, a little bit extra rest whenever you can, and that's why Elder's going to get the start tonight, and hopefully you'll see the first half version of Elder, not the second half version of Elder. And people are talking about it. How can you send this guy down? He was an all-star. I don't care that he was an all-star. All I care about is the second half of the season. He wasn't the same pitcher.
Do you know when you would have said, how can you send him down? If you flipped his halves. If you flipped his halves, then I would have said, oh, wait, he finished up strong. What does he have to do in spring training? He doesn't have to win the job. It's his job. Well, guess what he had to do this spring training? He had to win the job. And this Lopez thing is going to get really interesting. How many extra days off can you give him? They said last week, we're not looking at innings for him. Okay, it's been a while since he's thrown 100. Been a while since he's thrown 70. But I believe, and I asked a couple of guys on the field, a couple of other people in the media who were there, I said, what do you think about something we talked about where Lopez is actually going to be a starter for the next 2 years? I got him for $20 million for the next 2 years. If he comes out of this season healthy, he's a starter. I'm not putting him back in the bullpen because I could be looking for Freed, Morton, and at the beginning of the year, Strider. So I don't want to go hunting for three guys. I think I have one right here in my clubhouse.
And who knows when Strider is going to be back. We'll talk about him shortly. But in this series, if you want to look at bringing the kids to the game, Wednesday is going to be Ronald Acuna's 73 stolen bases record bobblehead night. 15,000, the first 15,000.
It is a bobblehead.
Yeah, it is. He's got the red Braves jersey on. He's holding up the base. And somewhere, Boog Sciambi's yelling.
And you know what
he
else?
He did it against the Cubs. Boog Sciambi, our friend, was calling the game and wasn't happy with it.
Well, actually,
what are they doing here holding up the game to hold up a base?
It was both guys in the booth sort of went in on it.
What's the meaning of this?
I got to be honest. If you would have said that to me, and I know who you're playing to Cubs fans.
Of course you are.
Stopping the game. This is just... You be a Cubs announcer number one when that's happening. I'm going to tell you what I think I would have said.
Hey, here he is sliding in. Oh, come on now.
We're really stopping the game.
Can we get the base after the game? I mean, this is pretty absurd. I mean, it's a hell of an accomplishment.
Totally, but can't stop a game without a highlight montage.
I didn't even have to reenact it.
No.
There it was.
Well, here's
the actual audio.
For all of the fans.
Here's what I would have done if I was guy number two and the beginning of that started. Hey, listen, old man, don't do this.
This is absurd, I tell you. A highlight montage.
Freddie Freeman's still better than him.
They didn't play a This Is Your Life.
Back in my days, we didn't have automated scoreboards.
I didn't see
somebody out there behind the wall changing things.
Did you see any pictures of Ronald Acuna as a child? Like, what did they think they played there? What were they describing to Cubs fans when they actually went into that? None of that happened.
I got to tell you.
Now, I will say this. Ricky Henderson saw the bobblehead, and he's, like, suing now.
Right.
He's like, I did this first.
I got to tell you, in all honesty, and we are the show of honesty.
Sure.
If the shoe was on the other foot, we may have sounded like that the next day. Did you reinvent the wheel or steal a base?
Listen, we've been...
But we're here.
Yeah, we've been. But the thing is, when you play up to your constituency, remember, it's the World Wide Web. It's the WWW. You think you're just playing the Cubs fans at that point. You believe they stopped the game for this. What did this man actually do?
You want to get
he stole a base. He ran 90 feet. Good for you.
You mean, get the base. Get the base after the game. But another beat.
They're showing Gone with the Wind right now up on the big board.
What? Anyway, you can get that bobblehead on Wednesday. And some more good news. Ozzie Albies was actually out there doing fielding drills.
Mm-hmm.
over the weekend, and he's eligible to come back this upcoming Friday when the Guardians do come to town. Now, we know the Braves are going to be cautious, and maybe he doesn't come back, but
every f***ing day.
The fact that he's out there doing things, he's going to drive you crazy if he's not playing. He's going to do everything he can to come back.
He's a yapper.
He's not going to be Anthony Rendon. Oh, my hamstring, I'll see you in about 5 weeks.
You know Tom and Jerry? You know Spike?
Yeah. The dog?
And Tyke.
Mm-hmm.
Tyke always.
That's my boy.
But always bouncing, always, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would. Here's what I would. It's not. I would ask him, just stay in the clubhouse. Watch the game in the clubhouse. I know you're entitled to sit out here, but you're going to drive everybody crazy.
Sean Murphy out there doing some throwing drills over the weekend. Still has not swung a bat with that oblique. So he is going to be out indefinitely. And Travis d'Arnaud more than capitalized on that situation over the weekend.
I'm going to ask you a dumb question. I know Sean Murphy is back to wink, wink, being your starter. Do you think the... Now, you might have to give d'Arnaud a little bit of time off because of this stretch. But do you think it's less of a... That guy's the starter and that guy's the backup going down the stretch?
Yes.
I do, too. I think you might actually see a little bit more. Whatever the number was supposed to be for Sean Murphy, he's not going to get there.
No.
He's missed too many games. He's got to work his way back. d'Arnaud will need a rest when Murphy comes back. But down the stretch, I don't know if it's going to be split the way they originally thought.
And we'll hear from Travis d'Arnaud after his big night on Friday momentarily. Wanted to bring up the fact that the Braves did have a 3-0 lead in the first inning last night. Marcell Ozuna, a 3-run shot, his 9th of the season, joining Christian Yelich as the only major league players with 9-plus home runs and 25-plus RBIs in the team's first 20 games in the last 15
doesn't
years.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. That's your Wellstar Wellstat of the day. At Wellstar, our patients are the center of everything we do. We're nationally ranked and locally recognized for our high-quality care, inclusive culture, and exceptional doctors and caregivers. One of the largest and most integrated healthcare systems in Georgia. Visit Wellstar.org today. Wellstar, more than healthcare, people care.
Can I ask you, do you think that's a steroids-driven number, too? Because it's 15 years. I can do the math on that. Do you think it happened a little bit before that by a few guys more than 15 years ago?
It's a fair question.
It sort of feels that way, doesn't
Chipper
it?
Chipper did it in 98. Dale Murphy did it in 1985. Are you saying Chipper and Dale Murphy did steroids? Is that what you're saying, Chris D'Amino?
No, I'm telling you.
Because you could have said it to Dale's face. Murph was just with us last Thursday.
Well, 98, I know what 98 was. It seemed to be, again, wink, wink, the beginning of this whole thing. I'd imagine between 98, 99 till 2010, maybe it happened a few times. I'll give you one more.
You think Dale Murphy ever snuck a sip of Diet Coke?
Yep.
Not Coca-Cola, the Diet Coke.
Now, do you
think... get crazy now.
It's a good question. I don't know because, again, I'm not trying to be funny about this. From a religion point of view, there are some people who say, well, I don't put caffeine and I don't do this. Would you blame anybody for doing Benny's?
No.
Greenies, beans,
no,
as we like to say.
You have to do what you have to do to survive.
Like, am I really supposed to believe, well, you know, these guys, you know, they don't have steroids, but they had greenies. Yeah. You know what I would have done? Taking a greenie every day I thought I needed it. Okay. Maybe two.
I would have cereal. I would have had the greenies in the bowl, poured a bunch of Coca-Cola in there, like Wheaties.
Well, you might not have been able to play.
Or do anything else.
Yeah, you might have just been running in a circle.
Man's heart's beating out of his chest.
Well, I told you, I'm not lying about this. Go look at the ADHD numbers. Baseball players, and by the way, you have to get a prescription. You can't just say, oh, gosh, I didn't know. I can't stay focused. But what I was told is if you do an upper and then you do, like, your Adderall or whatever your ADHD medication is, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but the focus became laser-like. Like, people have been experimenting with things forever to get an upper hand. Whatever it is, whether it's greenies, beanies, whether it's actually taking a combo of stuff, I don't know, sunscreen and rosin, they've all been trying to get an edge forever. It was just easier when it was packed in a needle for you by a company that sent you to pack needles.
Speaking of sunscreen and rosin, I think that Spencer Strider has a lot to say. He wasn't willing to do it on Friday as he met with the media for the first time. We'll get to that in the next segment. But let's get back to Travis d'Arnaud.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Travis d'Arnaud game on Friday night. No home runs going into the game, 3, including the grand slam that broke the 3-all tie in the 6th inning. And everybody at the game was hoping in the bottom of the 8th inning that he was going to get that at bat so they can all give him a nice round of applause, and he did.
Right. He screwed up.
I think he grounded out the shortstop, and guys around us were joking, you bum! Yeah, stiff.
Do you know how interesting that is that you think Travis d'Arnaud might hit a third home run in the game? It's not, with all due respect, it's not Matt Olson, it's not Austin Meyer.
But this is after the
three. You're not you're happy he got two, but you're like, man, could he do it again? No. It's the second time he's done it.
Listen, but nobody was thinking that. When he came up, there was two outs, the bases were loaded.
You want to applaud it?
Nobody was thinking another home run.
No.
Nobody in that stadium. And then he did it.
You get that second of excitement, and then you realize, oh, it's Travis d'Arnaud. He's not a home run hitter.
And here's d'Arnaud on what it was like after he hit that third home run.
I felt like I was 150 pounds running the bases instead of my normal 220. I was trying to hold in my smile a little bit till I hit home plate. Yeah, it's surreal. I hope every baseball player gets to feel that.
So think about this. Only three catchers have multiple three home run games. As you said, Chris, he did this for the Rays back in 2019 in a game against the Yankees in New York. Johnny Bench, Gary Carter, and Travis d'Arnaud. That's it. That's your list.
It's a hell of a resurgence. It's a really good story because he is a fan favorite. And it's almost like being a backup quarterback. Everybody loves you, and then you play, and then you get exposed. Well, this guy's played, and this guy hasn't been exposed. He's just become more of a fan favorite. And he's extended his career. He's changed the history of his family with the money he's gotten in the last few years when it could have been done. I'm not telling you he could. Nick, he could have been a backup in Kansas City. Like, he could have been behind Salvador Perez. Somebody might have taken a chance on him for a year or two, and he probably would have been weaned out of the game because he didn't play enough, and they're going to bring up a young guy in Kansas City to be the backup for Perez. That wasn't his fate. As a matter of fact, he turned his career earnings to something completely different, and he's a fan favorite in this town where, if, I don't know, like, I'm not saying he's a Hall of Fame player, obviously, but if he was a Hall of Fame player, guess what hat he would wear into the Hall of Fame?
Braves.
He'd wear a Braves hat. He'd wear a Braves hat, because I think now most people are going to associate him, whatever he's done in his career, certainly with the Atlanta Braves.
You think he's going to manage, don't you?
I think if he wants to. He's got young children. It's the one. Yeah, he's got young children. I'm not sure. Did he change his life enough with the money where it's never going to be about the money? Does he have a hobby? Does he want to go play golf?
He wants to be around baseball. Guys like that have the respect in the clubhouse, they make managers. Catchers, you know, we talked to Brian Snicker about it. Catchers make great managers.
You didn't see it? And I'm not expecting Adam or anybody to have it. That game was on Apple. The other night they talked to him after the game. And what did you do today? Yeah, you know, we had an off day yesterday. I hung out with the kids. You picked the wrong guy if you thought you were going to get a story. Like, let me tell you how crazy this is. I'm so hungover right now. And they asked, what do you do tomorrow before the game on Saturday night? I don't know, wake up. Maybe I'll have some breakfast with the kids. I'll do some stuff with the kids. I don't know if they didn't know him or they were just looking for something sensational. But it didn't happen because he literally just said, yeah, you know, off day, play with the kids, and I played with the kids today, and I came to the ballpark.
His life is going to stay the same. Spencer Strider's life has changed again. He was very cautious talking to the media on Friday. We'll tell you why when we come back. TPC Sugarloaf is where we are as the Mitsubishi Electric Classic ongoing this week. The Pro-Am going on today. Cellini, Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
I was lucky enough to sleep in today, and then I got to hang out with my kids and my wife, and had a lovely morning, so it's all because of them.
Slow down, Travis.
Yeah.
Slow down.
I honestly believe they thought they were going to get something unbelievably salacious.
129, Cellini, Domino, TPC, Sugarloaf is where we are. The Mitsubishi Electric Classic going on this week. That was Travis D'Arnaud after his 3-home run game.
Yes.
Talking to the gang from Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
That's after a 3-home run game culminated with a game-winning grand slam.
I don't think they understood who they were speaking to. I think they thought a hangover story was coming, or the idea that he was, I don't know, he was at a strip club at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Snick gave us a show and go, and I just showed up when I did.
The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard Foundation Solutions. It's the X Platform question of the day. What's your go-to when it comes to karaoke? And someone said this song, the soundtrack of Grease.
Can I ask, karaoke protocol? I'm really asking. Do you have to do this with your spouse or girlfriend, or can you do this with a stranger and be okay?
Oh, I think it depends who your spouse or girlfriend is.
Oh, right, because this could be problematic.
Yes,
right?
It could.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Because every once in a while, one spouse sings or wants to, and me, I'm just sitting there going, I'm not doing anything. You go sing with him, and I'm okay.
If you or I did this or vice versa, there would be no problem.
No problem.
But for some people, there would be a problem.
I think there would be. I saw him. I looked at him. Huh. Okay. He looked at him. You don't look at me that way.
That's a conversation I've never had. Ever.
Listen, I told a guy at a bar, you pay my mortgage, she'll go home with you. Now, I don't know what she's going to do, but you can negotiate.
How much is your mortgage?
You guys can have that conversation after the program, perhaps. Pitch some numbers, crunch some with Matt Lear, our engineer, back in studio. Before we talk about a dog perhaps going and being lost in the big city, I'm a little bit worried about him. Let's talk about Spencer Strider. Was not willing to, it was a long session with the media, but wasn't willing to go too deep when he was asked the question about pitchers getting hurt. Now, we found out it was a bone fragment that formed in his UCL.
Weakened the ligament, they said.
Led to the brace surgery.
But he went, listen, I'm going to tell you something you might not know. Remember the other day when I told you when he got hurt originally, they had to say, Snit is done. Hey, anybody you want to ask about Spencer? From what I was told.
Yeah, his arm hurts. He's going to have an MRI tomorrow. Thank you. That's how it went.
Right.
What did he just say?
I was also told, I was not there. I was already across the street. I was told that Spencer went about a half hour and they were like, all right, that's enough. Because I think he would have gone longer. Like, he, whether it was cathartic, whether it was, I just want to say these things, I want no misinformation, all of that stuff was in play. I do agree with you that there are a lot of people, especially somebody who maybe has had two elbow, one surgery, and let's just call this one a procedure, why wouldn't he have a thought on it?
But he said, I don't want to be relegated to a soundbite. Someone's going to take something I say here out of context, so we'll have this conversation. We're just not going to have this conversation today.
Right. He has thought about it because he thinks about everything as the real point. He absolutely has an idea, one, two, or three. Maybe he thinks there's something definitive, but I agree with him. You're not going to win without being able to elaborate because somebody at some point will throw it back in your face.
He did say, though, of course, the pitch clock, the condition of the balls, the banning of substances that help you gain a grip.
There are a lot of variables.
The effective shrinking of the strike zone for a number of reasons. All those things are playing a factor.
But I don't want to get into this.
For a guy that didn't want to say anything, he said something there.
He has thought about it. I believe it's the baseball. As much as anything else, if not more than everything else, I think it's the baseball. I think it's trying to adapt to throwing a round rock. A round rock with sometimes dust on it. I can't believe, and certain guys, again, remember, certain guys do have to work harder to grip a baseball than others. They really do. Pedro Martinez had the longest-ass fingers. Have you ever seen his fingers wrapped around a baseball?
Yeah, his fingers, it looks like the tentacles of a spider.
Right. So here's what I would tell people in baseball. If I'm a pitcher.
Is it tentacles or legs of the spider?
No, I think it's tentacles. Oh, legs of a spider? Yeah. Octopuses have tentacles.
Yeah. Okay, I think you get the point.
Yeah. Here's what I would do.
Be the tentacles, the legs, very long.
If I'm a pitcher, I'm getting my fingers extended. That's the first thing I'm doing. I'm getting a procedure. I'm getting my fingers extended. And what do you want to make fun of me? Why does one hand look different than the other? Because I pitch.
Why don't you talk to that doctor that does the morning stuff?
Yeah, he's
John Michaels.
He's going to do an injection and an incision, and boom, next thing you know, you got three longer fingers.
Next thing you know.
Right.
You're happy in the bedroom and on the mound.
Let me ask you this. Would you endorse it if you were a pitcher who pitched for 12 years injury-free?
Sure.
I would. I was a little short-changed to my index and middle fingers.
I got a little one.
but I went to the good doctor, and he took care of me.
Yeah, I don't know about that when it comes to Brock Bowers, but Brock Bowers and the Jets, it could be a fait accompli that he's going to play for the Jets. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN says Aaron Rodgers wants Brock Bowers as his tight end.
Now you see,
what Aaron wants, Aaron gets.
Okay. You
That's the real thing, 100%.
You seem to believe that Brock Bowers, all of a sudden, he's a country pumpkin. He's going to end up in the New York Jets, facility at Hofstra.
Yeah.
He's not going to make his way over to the stadium in New Jersey because he wasn't aware.
He's going to be on Times Square with an I Heart New York shirt on. Can you guys tell me where the Jets stadium is? I got to go to work. It's in New Jersey. What's the matter with you? Oh, no.
Next thing you know, he gets suckered into that trip around the island boat thing.
These are.
I didn't want to buy it. They bamboozled me.
I'm not sure why. These are the things that pop into my head.
I know.
These are the things that I think about.
I know.
I don't know why, but they do.
Yeah,
just Brock Bowers wandering around Times Square.
Yeah, he's Bambi all of a sudden. He has no idea that the woods are a dangerous place.
I'm supposed to play with Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, sure you are. And I'm the president of the United States. Get the hell away from me, you loser.
And then think about this, Nick, because the way you're painting him, what if Jet fans actually booed the pick? Oh, no, he's ruined. He's going to get wrecked. Do you know that Aaron Rodgers, if they do this right, Aaron Rodgers has played how much for the New York Jets?
I think he's played, two plays,
yeah.
Three plays?
Do you know that one of the things they could be doing, and I believe this, one of the things they could be doing to make it a widely accepted pick, Brock Bowers. Look, people up there don't know anything about college football. They just think they do. And then the draft comes and they think they know anything. But if they get this message out that Aaron Rodgers wants him, there's a chance for the first time ever the Jets pick won't get booed. Because I think they think Aaron Rodgers has hung the moon. And he's done nothing for them except take their money and be weird. Like, you think about it, he's being widely accepted in New York. And what has he done? On the field, nothing. And he's nuts. And New York fans are like, whatever Aaron wants, just give it to him. He wants that kid from Georgia. How do you say his name? Bowers? We got Brock Bowers.
I think you're going to hear that.
We got Bowers.
Pronunciation of Brock Bowers' name.
Can I give you a couple of things? Can I give you college football?
While we're on the topic of college football, sure, Chris.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If we have college football music, I don't know if we do or not. It's only one quick story. Did you see the Florida State rings?
The championship rings. The undefeated ACC championship rings?
They say 13-0. They're actually 13-1. But they gave them rings, and it's like all of this stuff. 16 garnets for the 16 ACC or whatever the hell it is. They went all in.
Well, I mean, it's nice. You should have a conference.
It's an ACC.
There's nothing wrong with
that.
No
doubt
about conference.
It. What about the 13-0?
You want to forget about the bowl game
because
we didn't have our best players.
Right.
Whose fault is that?
I know.
That's your coach's fault.
I saw it. I didn't realize. Do you think those are cheapish, or do they go all in?
No, you're for the Florida
players.
State. You
got to
go all in for the players.
You do?
Yeah, you can't be cheap.
Okay.
At that point.
All right. I know you're supposed to get an ACC championship ring. That looked like a Super Bowl ring. Relatively speaking, it looked like a Super Bowl.
Now, if there were to be, yes, it is.
Okay.
But you're trying to get the point across that we got screwed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there were a spring game championship ring, perhaps it would go to Arch Manning. What he did in the orange-white game on Saturday, threw a 75-yard touchdown on his first pass attempt, started 10 for 10, finished the first half 11 of 13, 189 yards and two scores, finished with 355 yards and three scores, 19 of 26 overall.
Wait, hold on. I'm getting a text. He has now joined DeJounte Murray in the portal. Arch Manning is in the portal along with DeJounte Murray.
Breaking rumors. There's no quarterback competition there.
So let me ask you this. Do you think he has a Robbie Benson one-on-one moment? I just want to tell you, Arch, that was a great performance out there. Straight up with a red-hot poker, I can play any place.
I'm not sure his family's going to allow that to happen. I don't think he's going any place.
Okay.
You're going to wait your turn.
Do you think
fine.
He was tempted Saturday night, smelling himself a little bit where he goes,
Listen.
I wonder how much I'd be worth coming out of the other side.
You
of
are one play away from being a starting quarterback at Texas.
But he's not starting right now.
You're fine. Our family's fine.
Okay.
You're good. You got a nice NIL deal.
What happened to the ego of the athlete saying, do you think he thinks Quinn Ewers is better than him? Because I'll give Caleb Williams credit. He said, I went to Oklahoma because I was going to beat out.
I don't think any athlete believes anybody's better.
Right.
But I believe that he is a team player, and I believe his family planted that seed. You know, aside from that little thing with the Chargers and Eli.
Sure.
Set that aside.
We've learned. We've all grown. My point is, do you think he went to bed Saturday night or went out to some party where somebody said, man, you're the greatest? Yes, I am.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You should be starting, man. Right. It should be you.
Right.
Although I don't really see
that fat faced Quinn Ewers.
Yeah. I don't really see Arch Manning going to parties and, you know, doing keg stands.
You
he doesn't
know,
seem
man.
Like that type of guy.
I don't know.
Oh, you never know.
Sometimes
he's a college
kid. Sometimes the quietest ones.
I told you. I know a couple of stories about a couple of guys in college, big time players. I don't want to give any names.
Sure.
They never drank. And all of a sudden, they went out with their teammates, and they completely lost control.
Right.
It's happened before, so
now
I'm not going to argue
in a refrigerator.
That. Our friend Herm Edwards, who's back at ESPN, got a show cause for 3 years based on what happened at Arizona State. He knows he's done. He's retired. He's finished.
He's
not coaching anywhere ever.
He's at an age where they could have said it's a 20-year show cause. Who's calling him in college?
More than 30 high school recruits they had meetings with during the COVID-19 dead period.
Meetings. Listen, he's
got to vacate 10 wins from 21 and 22.
That's the one. I don't care about the meetings. But now all of a sudden you got to pretend you didn't.
And we did ask him about
it.
We got it out of the way the first time he came on with us after all of this happened.
Doesn't mean I have to like him less. Doesn't mean it makes him a worse guest. It's just that he did some things you're not supposed to do. And again, I'm going to go back to what I said. If you get caught cheating for anything right now in college football, they should have a right to terminate your contract. And what's the cause? Wait, I didn't do anything. You got caught cheating. There's no cheating anymore. What's cheating? Are these meetings still disallowed, or was that a COVID thing?
No, it was COVID. You had no one could go anywhere or do anything.
And
I think they were warned a couple of times to stop doing this, and they kept doing
it.
This is according to Noah Furtado from 247sports.com.
Well, you got that wrong. It's Nelly Furtado.
Well, I don't know if they're related, but it is Noah Furtado that had the story. And Antonio Pierce, who's now the head coach of the Raiders, he's still under investigation, and he could face a show cause as well. Now, he wants to keep coaching. Herm knows that ESPN is now his fate.
Jim Harbaugh?
It's not a bad fate to have.
What about Jim Harbaugh? Is he under a show cause?
Don't worry. That's coming.
Okay.
Because
we only got to the first round of things, right?
Right. But that was the sandwich investigation. Now, the sign stealing, that hasn't happened yet.
Ryan Clark sat down with Caleb Williams, and I thought Caleb Williams had a really good point when he said, well, why would you go? Spencer Rattler's supposed to be like maybe the top pick. He's a Heisman favorite. He goes, because I thought he was going to beat him out. He said, I thought I did beat him out in practice. And then I watched him play. I think it was the game 6 or 7 where they finally put him in. He has the big come from behind. I'll say this about Caleb Williams. There's a little bit of squirrely stuff going on with him, but he wasn't afraid of competition. Now, there are people who said the reason they traded Justin Fields is we didn't want to set up a situation where he felt a little bit off put by not being the starter coming in.
You see Russell Wilson throw out the first pitch at the Pirates game over the weekend as well?
Yeah, how'd that go?
I think it went okay. I mean, he's a baseball player.
Okay, you know he's a football player. He's a football player now. So you got
to. He says he wants to go back and play baseball. He wants to do that before all is said and done.
That's what the Pittsburgh Steelers fans want to hear. You're thinking about playing baseball in that town. That's a great way to go. He's so stupid he can't get out of his own way.
I just think that's just on his bucket list. That's all. I don't think he's going to.
We don't do bucket lists here. We're Pittsburgh. We win championships.
You know what happens? We win championships. We go into the mines and we die. That's it. We get black lung and we die.
We eat paninis. Let me ask you this.
We just do it and we die.
When's he going to take his first picture with a panini and go, I knew I loved this city.
Yeah.
I should have been born here.
Could be coming in the not-too-distant future. Do you have still a lot that you need to dump on the table? Because we left a lot on the cutting room floor earlier in the program. I heard your list. We're the show of honesty. I heard your list that you're going over with Matt Lear. There's a lot of things you got to get out of your system here when we come back.
I didn't even get to my Scottie Scheffler take. Maybe I'll save that for tomorrow.
Or maybe he'll do it as a part of the dump. That is next. We'll talk to Chuck and Chernoff as we wrap up a Monday afternoon here at TPC Sugarloaf, the Mitsubishi Electric Classic going on. They are here, Chuck and Chernoff, as well as Shalini and Domino. It's the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Who does number two work for?
149, Cellini DiMino. Wrapping up a Monday, Chuck and Chernoff. At least Chernoff is here. Don't know where Chuck is. Chuck has his own clock, doesn't he? He just pretty much does what he wants to do.
Yeah, I believe it's a, yeah, I believe Chuck is away on personal business.
Gotcha.
Not sure what that business is.
Is that true?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's
off.
Yeah, he's off.
Okay. So Carlos Medina, I think I've been told now is
that is correct.
Well, he now, be I love site. Coming.
Carlos will be here on site.
Oh, he will be.
He's en route.
He is en right. route.
Yes.
Chernoff is here
okay.
Let's to witness
through.
The dump.
Let's go through a few things
all
very
right.
quickly.
Let's dump.
Did you see what the New York Yankees gave to John Sterling after like 74 years of service? They gave him a TV.
Sent him to Costco and got the TV.
They sent him a TV. They gave him. They brought it out proudly. I was like, hold
via
on.
Via brand smart.
I was like, where's the house that the TV goes in?
Correct.
I couldn't believe it.
I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but it's 2024. You can go to, you know, Sam's Club and get one of those for $9.99.
Yeah, give him a car or
something. No, he's 85. I don't know if you want him driving, but Domino's right.
They gave him a TV.
How about a summer in a nice...
right, send him on a trip.
Cruise.
Send
right.
him on a trip.
Something.
Send him on a trip. 10 days. Go to Greece.
Yeah. Give him a car. Give it to his kid.
I would give him a rental. Give him a rental in the Hamptons. Let him just hang out there. It's a beautiful house.
I said, well, what else? That's it. It stopped. The ceremony was over. You got a TV?
I don't think we respect these guys the way we used to.
Here you go. Here's a nice Toshiba. And a ceremony.
I think you're wrong, by the way. Can I tell you what I think happened? I think they went into somebody's office and said, we didn't get anything for Sterling. They took a TV off the wall.
So that's even worse, though.
That's what I'm saying.
There should have been a full ceremony. It should have been a big thing. It should have been, here's the championship calls. Here's all of it.
Yeah, you got a TV.
It's a little
I'd rather, I'm going to play you now. I'd rather you give me nothing.
Yeah.
It's more insulting that you gave me a TV.
You re-gifted
television in someone's office. I'd rather you give me nothing.
How about you give Carnegie Deli for life? Something. He's only going to live when he's 85.
That's true. What's it really going to cost him?
Yeah, I'll take an attaboy more than the TV.
Right.
Because the TV seems like you didn't try.
Did they retire his microphone or anything? Do they do that?
I don't know.
Do they do that for like Phil Rizzuto or anybody?
No. You know what they do? They name a booth after you usually. Like, that's what they do.
Do people realize John's been there since 1989?
He said he got his first job on the air in 1960. Dude, I'm 61. That's before I'm born.
Right.
He said it. I'm tired. I should have done this before the year started.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. They forced his hand, right? I wonder. Because there was supposed to be a press conference.
Yeah, and then he just announced it.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I remember John as a kid here doing Braves and Hawks. Like, I grew up with Sterling in the booth with Skip and Pete and Ernie. They were the four guys you had every night.
Can I tell you what I think
happened? Doesn't end well for a lot of us in this business.
Can I tell you what I think happened? I think John was probably honestly saying, the fact that I went through the winter thinking about this, and I really shouldn't have done it. I think he said to somebody, I'm going to finish out the year, but I'm really done. Well, we don't want you. And thank you. We'll give you a TV.
Jeez.
But you got to get out of here.
Once he got hit with that baseball, I think everything changed.
Oh.
It really hurt.
Oh. All right. You know the guy who allegedly stole millions of dollars of Augusta and Master stuff?
Yeah.
He's going to court May 15th.
In Chicago, right?
Yeah. Did you hear the other part of this story now, though? So, Augusta, we get to do things our way. We give you information we want. You don't tell us, we tell you. So you know what has now just been found out? Allegedly. is that the guy stole Arnold Palmer's 1958 first Masters jacket, and Augusta never had.
He stole
and
Arnold
said,
Palmer.
They,
Arnie's
he's
gone.
Deceased. Don't do that. See, this is you being a jerk. Why can't we just get through
his ashes?
Why can't we just get
through? He stole Arnold Palmer.
He dug him up. I hope he has to stand.
I apologize.
Okay. But does this sound like Augusta to you? Do you think this is true? They realized the jacket was gone. They weren't going to tell the world the jacket was gone because that's embarrassing.
Sure.
Now the question is, what else are we going to find out that the guy might have had? And the reason, here's what happened. A member knew somebody in the collector's world, so they tracked it down because somebody tried to sell it underground. We'll keep it quiet. Well, the problem is now he's going to court. They're going to have to list everything he stole. Do you think there's something else? And Augusta said, we can't let him know that he got that.
I would guess so.
We should have protected
Based
that better.
That,
I think so, too.
I would say yes.
Okay.
And he may be in your community.
$3.6 million, by the way, was allegedly the number that the jacket, Arnold Palmer's first green jacket, but they didn't let the world know. Before this guy gets to court or on court day, we're going to find out he took a couple other things that they didn't want.
What does the security, what does that look like?
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, this is Augusta, Georgia. This isn't.
Come back here.
Right.
I said stop.
It's not a thriving metropolis. It looks like something out of My Cousin Vinny with the
I got to tell you something. See, I think the opposite.
Don't you move.
Sorry.
I think you guys are wrong. I think you're thinking of Mayberry because I think at Augusta, I think they were training you shoot first. You see somebody touching something they're not supposed to touch.
And somebody
shoot
lost the job over this one.
No doubt about it. And it's a 13-year
thing. Thought I told you to pull the trigger.
Yeah, you'd have to answer to not pulling the trigger. That's the point. All right, let me give
now
you
now we have to pull the trigger on you.
Do you know what this is? Listen to this real quick. Listen.
Contrasting style. Touch gloves and off we go. South Florida and the rest.
Oh, no.
There it is.
Holy shit. He's out.
That's a 7-second knockout.
Great.
That's the rough and ready.
Mm-hmm.
They believe it's the fastest knockout in rough and ready history. These guys, neither one of them looked like they could fight. They were trying to talk about contrasting styles because neither one of them
was
had
this
a
rough
style.
And ready or rough and rowdy?
Oh, rough and rowdy.
Yeah, there you go.
Is this like
or rough and ready?
Yeah.
Listen.
It's all good.
Hey,
it's all the same.
As long as it's consensual.
Sure. Is this about or much to do like what you used to talk about, the original Tough Man?
Yes. But now it's sponsored because there's money.
But yeah, people coming out of the stands.
Yeah,
rough and rowdy. Barstool has made that a
no
big
doubt.
Time event.
But here's what happened.
It still fights somebody.
It still looks like it's in a garage somewhere.
But it's also the idea that they said contrasting styles. They weren't in the ring long enough, and I don't think either one of them had style. I saw this. It's just that one guy got popped.
That's
in 7 seconds, it was over. So much so you heard a holy blank coming out of the
If crowd. You haven't watched Rough and Rowdy, it literally is just two dudes come out of a bar. Somebody
right.
was in the Navy. They have, like, this is the old WWE days. They have little people. They've got, like, this is Howard Stern's, you know, group of...
The Whack Pack.
Yes, that's what they look like a lot of the ring girls, the whole thing.
I went to Atlantic City. And I saw what ESPN, now eventually ESPN puts wink, wink, real fights, but it was people that they just said, who wants to fight in an undercard? And they would find you and they'd give you.
I'll fight you.
Yeah, I'll fight you.
$50.
$50.
That's it.
All right, you got to listen.
Might be a dollar. I got to go fight this guy.
You got to listen to this.
7 seconds.
Ryan Garcia tells Devin Haney, I'm going to make weight. And if I don't, $500,000 I'll give you. Then Haney says, let's make it $500,000 a pound. And Garcia says, yes, quickly. Now, his father's over there saying, please don't do it. Please don't do it. $1.5 million, he's 3 pounds over. He pays him. And Haney said, he sent the money over. They fight. Listen to what Timothy Bradley said, former boxer. Listen to what he said before the fight.
If Garcia somehow pulls off the upset, oh, my gosh. I might as well just quit commentary and leave the game alone, man. I'm not going to lie. Because I just don't see it happening. Don't see it happening.
People are all over him. You know what he said in his Twitter? Oh, yeah, I was a fighter. I'm entitled to blah, blah, blah. He doesn't want to quit. Obviously, beware, people. When you talk about loser leaves town, you could be the loser.
But why are we still doing these?
Just say I'm prone to hyperbole. I'm not quitting. I'm not doing it.
Oh, y'all thought I was serious about that. I was kidding.
But again,
what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to leave town. No, you're not. So here
this is Chris
now.
Russo. I'm retiring if the D-backs
right.
meet the Phillies.
Right.
Like, what are we doing with this?
So the guy that couldn't make weight, who wasn't supposed to win, here's how the fight went.
That's two.
This is one round, by the way.
Straight.
So he beat the dog. He was 3 pounds overweight. So here's the end story before I let you hear the post-fight press comments. Garcia says he made $10 million betting on himself. He said the $1.5 million that I gave away, I made $10 million. I didn't have to cut weight. I wasn't weak. I was actually in a comfortable position.
Did he say he drank every night training for his fight, too?
Nick, he had a beer at the weigh-in. Yeah. He didn't care that he was over. He cracked a beer at the weigh-in when he was over for $1.5 million. He said the investment. Now, whether he's lying or not, I don't
know. It's a great shtick.
He said he made $10 million betting on himself. So here's what happened. His father, who doesn't look very old, and him, this is post-fight. Now, I hope we edited this pretty well, because this is a guy's father, and then Ryan Garcia is going to get the last whatever you want to call this.
Pauly Malignaggi, Timothy Bradley,
Chris Algieri,
Steve Kim, maybe Mario Lopez, maybe, but they're all pieces of shit, okay?
Oh, shit.
And I'm so glad
that's
they
right.
lost, and Ryan proved them wrong.
Yeah, Timothy Bradley, suck my
right.
That's a father and son bonding over the idea that they're going to tell people that they can blank his blank.
Poor Mario Lopez just minding his own business.
But he was part of the program. He might have said.
When has AC Slater ever been involved in anything semi-controversial?
How great is that father and son bonding moment? You know, it's touching. It's what I think. Yeah. I think it's touching that a father and a son can bond.
Later, they robbed the liquor store.
I don't know if he bet $10 million on himself, but in any other sport, that's looked at as a no-no. Dana White's like, keep yelling it.
Well, here's what people are saying. Hey, man, you had an advantage. You were 3 pounds overweight. Yeah.
And I took advantage of it. Yes.
Yeah, and I made $10 million.
It's the UFC. There's no CBA in here.
Matt, he paid the $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. So said the other fighter. Now, the other thing, that $1.5 million, you know what it got him? It got him all the hand in the rematch. Mm-hmm. He has every bit of financial hand now in the rematch. That's the other win. I didn't know about betting on himself, but the win now is he has financial hand.
You just wrote a check for one fight. You're like, F you, I'm going to go get that.
And when I beat you, because I think I'm going to beat you, I'm going to be in control of the purse and what the percentages are when we come do the rematch, because they will have a rematch. All right, last one. I got to set this up by saying DeMar Hamlin finally spoke about the idea that he was not comeback player of the year. He said, I'm competitive. I want to try to win every category that I'm in. Remember, this is a guy who died, and then he voted Joe Flacco the comeback player of the year. So Darvin Ham, like all of us, were like, isn't this guy kind of realizing he got robbed of this? I don't know if you can get robbed of that because it's not really a thing. It's voted on. But he did say, DeMar Hamlin, I kind of thought I was going to win. Now, listen to the difference between DeMar Hamlin, who said nothing for this long, and LeBron James.
I would have been the first unanimous MVP where I got all 120 votes, but I got 119th. I was a writer from Boston, of course. I know his name, too, but I ain't going to give him that light just yet. I'm waiting for the doc on that.
He thinks I'm waiting for a documentary to find out from 11 years ago who didn't vote for him.
You sound like a bitch.
Wow. DeMar Hamlin.
Pretty accurate.
DeMar Hamlin died on a football field and didn't win comeback player of the year when he was in the NFL the next year. Mm-hmm. LeBron James is still talking. This is recently. This is him and J.J. Redick. He's talking about a vote 11 years ago, and he doesn't want to out anybody. He's going to save it for the documentary.
I get that if Hamlin, because he wasn't active every Sunday, he could say, okay, but he died.
Literally.
Multiple times, and then
died.
Still came back to play
LeBron
in the NFL.
LeBron James is talking about a guy in Boston 11 years ago thinking that's documentary worthy.
Can we talk about LeBron, the person? Because LeBron, the player, great, whatever. We know it. I'm a little concerned for his wife, because she better say I love you when he's retired 500 times a day. Because LeBron needs to be told every second of every day by his kids, his family, his teammates, TV, radio. We love you, LeBron. I've never seen an athlete who's this great who needs the affirmation. And we've talked about it. It's nothing new. But what is he going to do when the cheers stop? This is why I think he's not going to retire anytime soon. He can't leave this.
So
he needs the love.
Can't leave the arena.
He wants to own. You don't get love at movies, by the way, because it's not a live audience. You've got to wait. You put it out to the world.
Owners, by the way, owners get booed. They don't get cheered.
No. But here's what I'm telling you. He's going to be the opposite of MJ. He's going to be the guy that is always saying something. He's going to be Mark Cuban on steroids because he believes that he knows how to put a winner. None of them think they're going to fail. None of them think they're going to be Michael Jordan in the NBA. He is going to go into that realm for one reason and one reason only, so he can be adored. And people, he believes he's going to win enough where they're going to bow down and say,
where it's
thank
backfire.
God for you.
But this is where, Los, you know this like I do. You become management. You become the man. You become the billionaire. You become Vince McMahon. You become Jerry Jones. You become, we don't like you. We don't relate to you. When you win, we don't even say much. When you lose, you become the Bulls owner. You become Jerry Jones.
There's no other form for him.
I'm saying, Chris, I am concerned about him.
He needs constant love.
But this is where Kobe had it right. And I think LeBron has kind of dipped his toe into it. You go into the world of entertainment and you start putting together some pretty cool, interesting stuff, you never get that moniker of, well, he's the manager. Well, he's the guy that we know. You know what? He's the one who just raised the ticket prices and made my beer $10. You know, that's the world he looks like he's trending to.
But there's no forum where he can be loved like
this. I don't know what
he
can do.
He's in trouble in that regard. No doubt.
Like, is there another athletic endeavor he can take on where he can get the adulation?
No, it's ownership. It's ownership, and it's going to be, he believes in his mind, he's going to win so much, they're going to still love
him. Do you think Jerry Buss has ever gotten love the way that LeBron thinks owners get love? They just don't, that doesn't happen. Like, you get a nice round of applause, typically.
Maybe Pat Riley.
But he's not an owner.
I know, but still, as far as somebody who's, like, upper management, doing what he's saying, to this day, he's looked at as, like,
would LeBron
run
the coach to try to get in a different...
Jerry West...
Would he be willing to do that?
I don't know.
Grind as a coach?
Oh, no.
Because Bird said after a while, I can't do this.
Nick, hold on. If you're a really good team, you're going to lose 30 times. Mm-hmm. You think he wants 30 press conferences where he has to talk about losing? Not a chance. I just find it amazing. 11 years later, he still thinks that one guy in Boston, I ain't going to give him up now. We'll save that for the documentary. Huh? What are you talking about? It's 11 years ago. Let it go.
To do the MJ LeBron thing is played out and tired. I know this much. I don't think LeBron. I don't think Michael gave an F what you thought.
Oh, no.
To this day, he doesn't.
No.
Well, even the hair. Listen,
what a great piece of mind, though, just to not care.
He wore a Hitler mustache. Yes, he did not care what you thought.
Even the hair thing. Michael said, yeah, I'm losing it. I'll shave it. LeBron is fighting it. Who was the guy last week or a week and a half ago that talked about how much money you think he spends to try to look like he's got hair? Like, that's crazy for LeBron James. I'm not even telling you it's fair, mm-hmm. but I'm telling you, this guy hears it all.
But do we agree he's not going to go quietly?
No.
Yeah.
No, the Bronny thing.
He's just not wired that way.
He tried to pull back on the Bronny thing. He didn't even do the pullback very well.
When he talked about Tim Duncan, and he said, well, maybe I'll just leave like Tim did, there's no chance. Where Duncan just sends in a fax.
Yeah, Tim Duncan's the polar opposite.
Tim wants nothing to do with anybody.
No, he's like, nothing.
He's an introvert, and I'm happy.
But LeBron, that's a guy who's grasping. Maybe I will. Oh, LeBron, you can't do that.
Maybe you should appreciate me right now, because I might just leave.
Right, that goes back to your point. What, did you not hear how great you were today?
Well, that's the shame of this, is we cross these streams of, like, you get the personal side taking away the objective, like, discussion about LeBron's greatness. I don't care if you think he's one or two all time, but there are people who will go, I just don't like him for this stuff, so I'm going to knock him down.
It's almost too easy. What did I tell you? There's the Bermans of the world that you just go, this isn't even fun anymore. Too many people have realized what, you know, what's going on with this guy. That's how I am with LeBron.
Have y'all realized, has it taken a few years to realize my stance on the bubble title and doesn't count?
Oh, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, it's a baby title.
Sure.
We'll call it a baby title.
It's like the Dodgers World Series.
Yeah, both
LA
trophies. How would you like to be? The Dodgers got theirs in 20. We got theirs in 21. Tell me which was more fun. The scene at the Battery, having to go on the road, dealing with all that stuff, or playing in that antiseptic, empty or half empty
I'll give you another one. You know how I know? Look, Anthony Davis gets off kind of lucky because it's not him. It's Jason Tatum who has to win the ring. And then people go, what about Anthony Davis? They ask that question. Why? Because it's in the bubble.
It's a bubble title.
Yep. It's in the bubble.
Perfect scenario. No
Anthony
crowds,
Davis doesn't
no road.
Have a title. Like, Anthony Davis is, in my mind.
Not in any barbershop.
Every bit as much on the line as Jason Tatum is.
And I will say this. That was exquisite basketball because they were just playing without any outside factors. No travel, no noise, no road, no nothing. So you could just watch the best players in the world at a gym. You would see it like lunch where there was just
like L.A. Fitness.
Yes.
Except it's NBA players.
But it was great to watch. It just doesn't add up.
Make
them,
take them.
All right. So speaking of basketball, we had the Braves Clubhouse Report on Thursday, then you were off on Friday.
Yes.
So we haven't spoken since the Hawks got eliminated, and they meet with the media on Friday. And where does Trae Young end up, or where does DeJounte Murray end up? My stance is they're not going to get in return what they think they're going to get or what they want to get. I think everybody's coming back next year.
So I think DeJounte is going to go. They're going to bite the bullet and take whatever they can. It doesn't work with these two. And they're both, like, Trae's an all-NBA-type player. DeJounte's very good. They tried to do square peg, round hole. And we talked about this when they made the deal. You've got two point guards
who don't play as well off the ball. They watch each other. It's you go, I go.
What a shame.
It's just not good. I don't. What can you get for DeJounte? You're going to get draft picks. Yeah, I mean, but this is what it always is.
I'd rather run them into the ground, clunk their heads together, and say, you know what you guys are? You're cementing your reputations because you can't play. It's positionless basketball. I don't want to hear that.
You're not wrong, but they're both. This would be like saying Luka, go play off the ball. Some guys can't play off the ball and be effective. They're just like.
It's just making a deal, though, for the sake of making a deal.
It's not making a deal for the sake of making a deal. It's admitting we missed.
Yeah, but draft picks is making a deal for the sake of
deal. But star players always go for draft picks. You never get star for star.
I'd rather clunk their heads together. Again, I can't sell it to the Atlanta fan running this back. I can't.
Chris, they're done selling it.
I also can't sell. We got a first-round pick next year and a first-round pick the year after that.
Remember what they have to do now. They've got to make up for some of the overtrade they made to get DeJounte. They give up three firsts, which was an enormous overpay.
I'll send you one back. You send me DeJounte.
By the way, that's not impossible.
That's not impossible.
I talked about the movie Draft Day, where the whole big thing at the end is I want all my picks back, and I want your punt returner, because I have hand now. They have no hand.
Here's what I'll take.
They have no hand.
The bigger picture in this, and we're living in an interesting time in this, where we watch the Hawks, who just have a GM now who's completely in over his head and hasn't made a move yet. We got the Falcons, who are about to get a penalty for being dumb, right? And then you got the Braves, who we continue to say, doesn't mean you're going to win titles every year. Nobody does. But how are they so well run? And those other two keep stepping at it year after year. And one's corporately owned. The other two are individually billionaire faces of it. And they can't figure it out.
And one job, I won't say the NFL GM, one job, the NBA GM, is the easiest in sports.
Should be.
And now you have two assistant GMs now.
Two assistant GMs.
They just hired the Spurs guy, right? Or the Warriors guy. Right, but he's a cap guy more than anything. And that's fine.
No, he's a player development and legal counsel. Personnel counsel.
Team counsel, lead counsel, right. Something along the lines of Paul Heyman in the WWE. He's an advocate.
I don't know where they go. All I know is the owner. You guys know this, and this is getting in the weeds. But so the Hawks had a $25 million cap exception this whole year they could have used without going into the tax. They used about $2 million of it. They're not serious about putting the best product out. The owner's about the dollars, and it's his. He can do whatever he wants. You can't ask me to be invested in you. And if I was Trey, and we're going to talk about this today, I would have Friday proclaimed loudly, get me out. I'm wasting my prime for an unserious organization who's not trying to do all they can. The Vic Creechy thing was a small little thing, but it's also a big statement of, like, we're not even trying to do much.
And I didn't really talk about that. You and I talked about it. It's just a small amount of money to guarantee for a guy. Why would you not? This guy helped you win. Why would you not put your best team on the floor?
Right.
Because you don't want to spend a small amount. I was going to say infinite amount.
In relative terms. In NBA terms.
Yeah, a small amount of dollars to have him on.
So I would add this.
That tells me all I need to know about this.
Again, we're getting lost in the weeds on this.
I know.
They would have had to cut somebody. Trent Forrest, God forbid, you would have had to cut him. Veet was still restricted either way.
Right.
Now, if they don't match a deal for Veet, who knows what he's going to be. It'll remind you that, again, it's about the dollars.
But he played, you know, when Trey was out and they had their injuries.
He was really good.
He was a serviceable player. And team on the floor.
Yep.
You did?
But that's what that organization's about. The owner can look at you and lie after every season and tell you what he wants and how important this is. If I'm the star player who's 26, and that's what Trey is, I want out. I don't want to be here.
I will also tell you, and again, I don't really care who would win the argument anymore. Oh, yeah, you want out? Well, let me tell you what your problem is. You couldn't get along with this guy, and this guy. So I don't want to get into the pissing war that way, and maybe neither does Trey. Maybe neither does his father. So maybe it's just going to be, I want to win, they want to win, but I don't know if I can win here. So you can try the trade stuff. I asked Nick, and I don't know if this is the case. Does the NBA work like some of these other sports where I tell you, go try to make a deal? Like, here's what because he says, I believe this. I'm willing to forego that. I don't have to be the best player on the floor. Mm-hmm. Here's what I would like Trae Young to do for me if I'm going to trade him. I want you to go talk to other teams. You give them that speech. I don't know if anybody's going to believe it. I don't know if you're telling the truth. Can he up his value by talking to the Lakers or the Spurs and saying behind a closed door, I don't feel the need to be 25-10. I could be 22-8 if we win. Would that maybe increase his value? Because in other sports, they do say, go shop. Go shop yourself. You and your agent are allowed to make phone calls.
In the NFL, it's very regular.
Right. You and your agent go make phone calls.
So the bigger issue becomes, like the Lakers, for instance, they just don't have stuff to give you. So even if, like, Trey sold himself and they're like, we love his attitude, he's going to be great. We just said about DeJounte, for the Hawks to trade Trey, it's going to be a treasure trove of picks. Lakers don't have that. So it's like you're limited.
There's no treasure in picks.
But that's all they have. That's all the capital.
I know, but I'm saying.
That's all we have in this league.
Go look at how the NBA.
It's pyrite, I tell you. Fool's gold.
Go look at what the NBA has. We can't pick five guys in a row.
No question.
Who can play in the NBA. Here's the last one.
This draft might be one of the worst we've seen coming up in a while, but all the picks do is they work as ammunition, right? I'll give you a small example. Sadiq Bey is just like a guy. The Hawks traded 5 second-round picks for Sadiq Bey. You want to have a gaggle of draft assets to be able to do stuff with, even if it's not drafting players.
And I don't want a draft pick. And if you can't give me a body, run it back. And clunk their heads together and try to see.
I don't know that I want to watch this again, though.
I agree with you. But what do I want to watch? You're going to tell me I got a number one draft pick in 2026?
I'll be surprised.
Then what am I watching? I'm watching a worse team.
Well, Nick, you're not wrong to say that because Landry's been very apprehensive to do anything. If you do trade, you got to tear down. You can't go halfway.
So then trade DeJounte.
If DeJounte's your best player, if he's your best player, you're not going to accomplish anything.
Trade them both. Start all over. Trade them both.
This franchise.
All right. Tell them real quick that Dan Graziano, and you hope it's Dan because we keep saying it's him, paraphrase or sort of don't directly quote him, but give the idea and the gist.
Incidentally, speaking of the Falcons, Matt Ryan officially retired, put out a two-minute video on social media at 2 o'clock.
So I asked Hadley Engelhardt about that. I go, what does it mean? He goes, nothing. He goes,
Rest in peace.
Retirement goes from his last game to when he could be Hall of Fame eligible or any of the, like this. It's kind of a, hey, I'm telling everybody.
It's a formality. Yeah. Anyway, this morning, Mike Greenberg, the Jets fan, was talking about Joe Alt being there at 8 and would they make a deal with the Falcons to move up. Then he said the Jets don't have a second rounder. And I believe, I'm 99.9% sure, I apologize if it's not Dan Graziano, said that it doesn't matter. The Falcons are still going to get the guy they wanted 8 or 10, so they would just make that deal for next to nothing. So you're going to swap first-round picks and say, don't worry about it, Woody Johnson. Somewhere down the line, I'll ask you for a favor. You're going to be Don Corleone, and that day may never come.
Yeah, okay.
That's a ridiculous statement to make.
Just buy me a drink. I'll get you at some point.
You know
that's worked with me.
How's that worked with Domino?
Right.
For years.
I'm not a general manager. Most normal people wouldn't let that keep going on.
They'd ask for nothing to switch places. Yeah, sure they would.
All that was is a guy got caught in the air.
Exactly.
It's like, I've already said it, so they'll just do it for nothing. Yeah, it's not a quarterback, so you don't get the whole big premium. But if you're switching, just going down two spots, that's still, at that point in the draft, it's still not small.
Can I tell you? Here's the thing. I can't trade with you because somebody does need a quarterback, and I can get more out of them.
That's right.
So at that point, is Dan going to say, oh, look at the Falcons trying to squeeze somebody for the pick. Bad move.
Is that better than Richard Jefferson's? You guys saw his this weekend?
No, what do you have?
So Jefferson's quote after he was doing NBA analysis, quote, the thing about these 7-game series is the team that loses has the advantage.
Like game one?
He's very pretty, though.
Or anything. What do you mean?
Richard Jefferson is beautiful.
There's got to be. Wake you up? I'm trying to figure it out. That's all.
By the way,
the internet really catapults you into next season.
68%. If you win the first game of a 7-game series, it's 68% that you win. Yeah. So I don't know what he had in front of him.
The team that loses. Okay.
Like you said, we all get caught.
Oh, we all done it.
And by the way, how much better / wink wink worse do you feel that Chicago got beat the way they did? So if you were wondering how far the Hawks might be away, I hate to say that another 48 minutes and only 48 minutes.
Oh, you didn't
let you know that it was worse, but that 48 minutes let you know it was worse.
I got news for you. You didn't want the Boston thing. You didn't want that.
No, that would have been 4 games of pain.
You guys see what happened yesterday?
But at least
14 nothing, and then
you don't want
at least to give us something to talk about.
Well, yes, selfishly for us, it would give us another week of content. But look how terrible they are. My God,
exactly.
How far away. For them, it just go away.
I don't think we'd have a Zaza bow up moment.
No.
I don't really feel like I'd have a bow up moment in this series if it happened.
If Jalen would have been there and Onyeka would have been there, and like maybe if Trey was healthy, sure, let's have some.
See, I think that's going to be a part of their stance, bringing everybody back. We were banged up, different
Could
point in times. Of
we've
the year,
sat down, and
injured.
All of these guys are on the same page.
I think everybody's coming back.
They know, know that we can win if we just play together.
That organization, there's nothing you could do that would shock me.
All right, today's April the 22nd. Let's talk about a few things that happened on this date in history, starting with the Braves. We mentioned this earlier, Chris. 1966, the Braves win their first ever game in the city of Atlanta as they beat the Mets. It's fitting they beat the Mets, right?
Sure.
By final of 8-4.
But it's also sort of Atlanta-like that the Mets get Tom Seaver when Atlanta signed Tom Seaver. So we weren't very far away. That was a good day. We were like that year away from going, oh, wait, it's only Tom Seaver. What could the hurt be?
I agree. I think we've made up for it, though. Like, our level of success for the last 30-plus years in the Mets, it feels a little different.
1966, on this very same day that the Braves got their first win, the Trogs, their second single, Wild Thing, was released. It becomes the number one song in July.
I don't believe there was a follow-up from the Trog.
Oh, my God, it's the Wild Thing. He's back.
So you know what this is?
I hate this Lincoln song.
What year is this?
This is 1966.
So do you understand on the beaches, the AM radios on beaches all across where there's beaches in America, it is blasted, and it's probably playing every three songs. Because that's what you did in 1966 with the number
getting one. Wild on the beach, here's the Trogs with Wild Thing.
And the
remember to turn before you burn.
And the Beatles were still the Beatles in 1966, yeah. So that's sort of a big deal.
Yep. 1979, on this date, the Stones played two benefit concerts for the Canadian National Institute for the Blind in Ontario.
That was nice of them.
It was part of Keith Richards' sentence for heroin convictions.
Oh, tough break.
Yeah.
It was nice that they fulfilled their public service.
Oh, because he had heroin.
Mick, we got to go out and play.
What's that?
I got caught chasing the dragon.
Do you dance at that point? Do anything on stage? Just stand
what year is this?
Difference.
This is 1979.
Heroin.
Still doing heroin in his late 70s?
He's still alive.
Weren't we into cocaine by then?
I think, yeah.
I think we're right on that precipice.
I think this guy was pulling a Belushi before Belushi pulled a Belushi.
You think he was limiting himself?
Can I ask this? Thank God I'm assuming that wasn't China or, like, Mexico. Like, Canada seemed to let you off easy. You got to play two concerts for getting busted with heroin?
I think it was a part of it.
He got let off easy. I don't know if you and I would get off the same way. He got let off.
And Charlie Watts is like, I got to come back here and play the drums now because you can't control yourself.
Because you're sticking needles between your toes?
I think Charlie Watts sounded like that. But I think you get the picture.
Playing a concert for the blind and they're up there. They're going half-hearted, right.
Two of them.
Yeah.
2017, Aaron Moran, Joni from Happy Days passed away at the age of 56. It was not a happy day. She was not a happy person at the end either. She hated everybody.
Well, I think she thought it was going to be bigger.
What was her issue? She didn't get another bite at the apple?
I think so.
Joni and Chachi didn't pay the bills?
No.
Well, Joni and Chachi was... I don't think she thought that was a second bite.
Yeah.
I think that was just a continuation of the first. I think she thought there was supposed to be a second.
Is she also bothered that he got a bunch of other opportunities?
Maybe.
I mean, he got a bunch of stuff.
Maybe.
Oh, he's so handsome.
Was she 70s cute?
She had like a 2-year run.
Yeah, I disagree with you.
And then it just, you know.
I mean, that's cool.
It happens.
Like, I hate to tell you, what years was this show? I think I'm entitled to speak to this.
76, I think.
Right, so I'm 13, 14, 15.
Wheelhouse.
I'm entitled to speak.
Wheelhouse.
I didn't see it. Valerie Bertinelli on here.
Different.
Very different.
1994, Richard Nixon passed away at the age of 81.
All of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
Whoops.
Now, that's how he said it. How does it get portrayed he said it?
every impersonation.
Every
that.
Movie.
Shaking
every time.
Mouth, shaking head.
Two fingers out.
Everybody over the top on it.
Yep.
He is one of the great examples, though, of the first like time when what you looked like on TV mattered.
Oh, yeah.
JFK looks, you know, tapered and well put together. Well, and he fits in.
The makeup.
Yes, 100%.
He had a 5 o'clock shift.
Yep.
Everybody's like, whoa, what's going on?
People said,
there?
I can't trust this guy. It turned out they were right.
Yeah. We just had to wait a handful plus of years.
Jack Nicholson celebrates a birthday today.
I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job. Did you order the code red? You're goddamn right I did.
It's an interesting edit right there.
Wow, that's close.
Worth $400 million.
Is he? What is he in that movie for, like 12 minutes? Like, I mean, the courtroom scene is there in the early scene when he's answering questions, and that's Colonel Jessup.
I don't think you should badmouth terms of
endearment. No, listen.
Terms of endearment.
I wish what that was from.
Is that Terms of Endearment?
No. Yeah, sure was.
Nailed it.
He wasn't in that movie very long either.
He was an astronaut.
Yeah, he was.
Right? In terms of endearment.
He had a Corvette.
If you blasted off to the moon.
He had that astronaut Corvette.
If you had to gauge it. Level of insufferability, do you think, what he was like on set?
Oh.
Yeah.
Just see him at Laker games, what he was like.
I'm a movie star. I'm a star.
See, can I just pull back? I think Warren Beatty might have had more of that in him than Jack. I think Jack sort of knew it was all...
You think? I think Jack believed his own stink. Didn't do talk shows. I don't do TV. I'm wearing sunglasses at the Laker
game. But I think
game.
He was laughing about
I
it
don't promote
time.
Movies. But I slapped those sunglasses.
I don't show up on a small screen.
I don't know. Maybe it's all of them. Because I would hear these stories about, like, of all people, like Gene Hackman. I'm like, not Gene Hackman. Not Gene Hackman. It's supposed to be like everybody's like uncle, grandfather, dad.
Gene was tough to deal with.
Yeah.
Huh?
apparently, like, on the set of Hoosiers, he was awful to deal with.
Well, he was probably in character. He thought he was really Norman Reedus.
He's got a whistle around his neck off camera. He just kept telling everybody this movie's going to suck and we'll never do anything ever again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, that was the,
He thought his career was tanking.
This is the movie that's ending my career because I'm doing this movie.
I'll play Lex Luthor. I'll save it. And then I'll be a smoking addict in, what was that movie? Heartbreakers with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
So, By the way, is that bad that I think that's a Jennifer Love Hewitt movie?
Right. Not
Gene Hackman is in the movie.
He had a great funny role in it. But can we leave these guys alone at some point? So these pictures that came of Hackman recently.
Right. Yeah, not fair.
He's 94.
Right. What do you expect?
He's disheveled because he's 94. And we're taking pictures and trying to, you know, make him look bad. He's 94.
He looks ghostly, but he's 94.
Nobody lives to 94.
Jack Nicholson, too. You know, enough is enough.
Leave him alone.
Well, Clint Eastwood.
Guys, 87 years old. What do you want from him?
I saw another picture of Clint Eastwood. Yeah, he's not making another movie with the orangutan. Those days are over. There's not being Dirty Harry anymore.
Clyde, go over and punch that guy, Clyde.
There's a chance he's wearing, you know,
diapers.
Diapers, right?
I know. I didn't want you to see
that. But I mean,
I was going
to
take
Dirty Harry's out. Making dirty in his pants.
You oh, just, no.
That happens
Clyde.
To all of us.
Put over here and wipe me, Clyde.
You think you can train Clyde to wipe you? You think you can train an orangutan to wipe you?
I can, yeah.
We can't hold the toilet
What happens if one day the orangutan doesn't want to play ball? Bad news, right?
Yeah, it could be a disaster.
Maybe realizes his place in society at that point.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is 58 today.
Back to it.
This guy said something with his eye popping out of his head. He's trying to talk.
It was a pretty shocking scene.
It was, but I
don't know it.
You're all right, buddy. You took a hell of a headshot. Your eyes popping out of your head.
So my problem with this show is it triggers me to this day. I got so angry that there was never any kind of closure.
No payoff.
Oh,
okay, but
it was like Lost. I get triggered.
So I didn't watch Walking Dead, but I watched the one that just came out.
He put a picture of
over to Europe.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan on his Twitter page that night. People were flipping.
Oh, they were so angry.
He's an actor.
Correct.
He didn't do that for real.
Those people.
I didn't watch the show, but what was the guy's name that it was just this past year? They had him in Europe, but it started up again. I was like, I enjoyed it. I don't know if I missed The Walking Dead because they did 9 versions of it.
Shot them all off in different things.
Just watch it then. What the hell was
Walking
it called?
Walking Dead Celebrates Easter.
It's too
we're going through the holiday versions of it.
They were just
going
to squeeze it.
Did you watch the Norman Reedus one?
Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah.
It was good. As a standalone. Yeah. Like, I understood the idea.
Glenn Campbell would have celebrated a birthday today. He passed away at the age of 81. Would have been 88 today. We're 50 million.
He sang like an angel.
Yeah. His life wasn't that of an angel.
No. He had an incredible, like, I don't want to say he's Karen Carpenter, but he's sort of, you think this guy hit bad notes? I don't.
So wait, what was the,
great guitar player, too.
What did he lose at life? What was the,
drugs, alcohol?
Typical.
No.
So, okay.
Abuse. Nobody but abuse. It was,
he and Tammy Tucker were together for a while. It was, to say it was toxic is a massive understatement.
She came out on the other side, very highly regarded now by people in Nashville. She's sort of on that,
but he was
let's bring her along.
Yeah, too.
No doubt. But he had Alzheimer's.
I guess my point is we hit all the notes on all these things. Like, who was the person that had the success and also, like, did not follow that path for whatever that, you know what I'm saying?
Well, let me tell you this,
Brian Wilson went nuts. He stopped touring. He replaced initially Brian Wilson on the Road to the Beach Boys.
But you know what was different, man? In a world of not social media, we had heard about him. They made covers.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Tanya talking about covers. And that didn't happen. I agree with you. There's probably a lot of stuff. That guy in the non-social media world, we all knew that he was in a bad place.
Your boy Peter Frampton's birthday is today.
You know what else happened? This weekend, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Got it.
You know what he joked? He said, I thought I was already in.
I thought he was in, too.
He's been eligible since 1998.
How's that possible?
He just got in this weekend. We're going to do it in BTG tomorrow. We got a few other pieces of information. He just got in 2024.
Worth $20 million, 74 years old. Now, we don't have any sound for this. Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett from The Facts of Life, she would have celebrated a birthday. She passed away at the age of 92. She would have been 98 today. The Super 70 Sports Twitter site had one of the funny references to the facts of life, saying, you know, you're getting older when you say, you know, Friday night, a few beers in me, I'd take a run, Mrs. Garrett.
Whoever said I would take a run? Then they replaced her with her sister, who was, why am I going blank on the actress?
Oh, I can't, I know.
I yeah, the blonde.
I can't remember.
I'm out. Can I ask what?
Worth $4 million.
How old was she playing?
She was Molly the Mail Girl, I remember, when I was a kid on Sesame Street.
She always looked old.
Yeah.
Right. What? How old was she when she was playing that character?
So 2018, she passed away at 92.
So that shows, early 80s.
Yeah.
So she's 50-something?
Yeah, she's in her early 50s, yeah.
You've thought about stuff like that. Yeah. 70 Sports is not wrong.
Mm-mm.
You've actually told me about some people you wouldn't mind taking a run at after a couple of beers.
But how about that cast, though? Lisa Welchel, any of those? Mindy Cohn, Nancy McKeon, George Clooney? You have to think about any of those?
George Clooney, yeah. A little bit, yeah.
I agree.
Mindy Cohn, too.
He's Kip Fields. He's handsomer to this day.
Cloris, by the way, Cloris Leachman replaced Charlotte Wright.
There you have it. Aaron Spelling would have celebrated a birthday today. Passed away at the age of 83. Would have been 101 today. $600 million was his worth.
And you know what Tori Spelling's doing?
This is 90210.
I just saw in Houston at a con with the reunion of the 90210.
She got none of that money, right?
She, well, so supposedly she's got a little bit of it, not like the full family fortune. But the other story that just came out, she's another one who went so crazy with the plastic surgery. So now she's admitting she went too far, but it was all to please Hollywood. And it's like, she's in her podcast, she admits everything.
Okay, so can I tell you something that I believe? Because Aaron Spelling probably said she gets nothing. Then he's dead. And the mom, according to what I read, still didn't give her anything.
Right.
What kind of threat did that guy make that he had so much power, he was going to come back from the other side and make sure that she lost it all?
You know he crossed every T and dotted every I legally, that if she gets a dime, you're cut off. So she still gets the money.
Doesn't everybody, though? Well, maybe not everybody, but there's families that know equal distribution here, equal distribution here. If I give this person this money,
it's bad.
It's gone.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's that. They must have had a really big falling out. But the point is, once he's in the ground or he's cremated or he's in the mausoleum,
take the money.
Won't you just take if you're money. The mom, right. Listen.
Enough is enough.
I'm going to watch it.
But like you said, she's going to lose everything, man.
She had a brother, Randy Spelling, who was on a couple of episodes of 90210. Maybe he got the money.
We've never heard from him again.
I mean,
maybe he's happy with just quietly taking the money.
Yeah.
Not a bad life, I guess.
She's doing reality.
The original Audrey Griswold, Dana Barron, celebrates a birthday today.
Oh, God, it's so good to have somebody to talk to. I mean, my parents mean well and all, but I try and tell them stuff, and they just don't seem to know what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about, hon?
See? God, I miss Jack.
Why was she replaced?
Well, they did it every movie.
Yeah,
they
rotated all of them.
Rusty, and it became a joke in the follow-up movies. You guys look nothing like you sort of did. Now, she also went on to be in 90210 when she grew up, but I don't know that she ever had a bunch of big...
only worth $500,000 I have here in front of me. I don't know how
she had a nice duplex.
She passed?
No, she's still with us. She's 58.
Oh, okay.
And finally, Machine Gun Kelly. He celebrates birthday today.
Yeah, beer. Yeah,
what do you think he's doing? Except,
I thought he was great as Tommy Lee in the dirt.
I know, but other than pretending he's a tough guy, what do you think he's doing today?
He's definitely pretending.
Well, you know what he's doing? He could be doing right now. He could be having sex right now.
Is he still with Megan Fox?
With Megan Fox, baby.
They're not engaged, though. She said, we're still sort of, you know, whatever.
She's got a strange look to her these days. So that's fine.
Changed a little bit.
Define strange.
So does he.
It's not the Transformers version of her.
No. We're a long ways away from the Transformers.
My guess is, though, there's a lot of nudity in that house. There's a lot of fighting, and there's a lot of making up.
Could he bench the bar?
No.
I don't think
it's 45 pounds. Yes, he can.
Like Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton were the ones 20 years ago where we all went, wow, that's a weird relationship.
It's a 45 pound bar.
I'm not sure he can bench the bar. I'm not sure he can.
I think you're just hating that.
He can pick Megan Fox up.
Yeah, that's all that really matters.
I think you're hating.
He's worth $25 million. He's 34 years old. And with that, we say goodbye. Brandon Harper, our engineer on site, thank you. Cullen Madden, Brian Gebhardt, Derek Thomas, Matt Lear, M. Gillespie, thank you all. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We're back tomorrow at 11. Cellini Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.